own products, it's been very time consuming, and there's give and take in that. I mean, I could simply go buy the rights to other products, but I wanted it to be my own. I wanted to have control, and I wanted it to be...
That leads me into a question that I've been wondering since I first seen your website, and I remember the first time I've seen your site, I heard about you through another marketer, and when I went to your site listening to you, you said I own hardtofindcentros.com. I checked it out. I thought it was a really great site. It's well put together. It shows credibility, breaks down the trust that we've talked about before. Basically, one of the things that I was wondering is, do you have a lot of competition out there? It doesn't seem like you would.
No, I really don't have any competition. You know, the only competition I have would be on eBay, where people are selling their old marketing seminars or old, you know, pre-owned J. Abraham. Huh?
Don't you usually buy, call those people up and say, listen, I'll give you a deal.
No, I won't. Sometimes I can approach those people if I'm looking for something and offer to do a trade, but I won't pay the price that they're asking for. You got to understand, they're selling what market value will pay.
Yeah.
And I'm not. It's not going to be worth my time to buy what they want to retail it at.
Right, you're basically a reseller.
Because I'm reselling. And when I pick this stuff up, I got to pick it up at a steal. I got to find this stuff where the guy's got a garage full of all the stuff. And J. Abraham is notorious for when someone goes to a seminar for adding all these bonuses. So let me give you an example. Let's say I find a set of material from, I'll use the example that I was talking about before, his mastermind marketing seminar from December 2003. I think it was 2002. When someone went to that seminar, they would come home with the set of the audio tapes, which is 36 audio tapes, which I could sell for $500. They would come home with a set of the CD-ROMs, which I could sell for $500 or $600. They would come home with the transcripts, whether it's on a DVD or in printed form, I could sell for $100 to $200. They would come home with a book called Money-Making Secrets of Marketing Genius J. Abraham and Other Marketing Wizards, which I sell on my site for $295. They would have a book called The Average Age Abraham Advertising Guide, which is a collection of all his best winning ads, extremely valuable. I sell that for $300. He would have a product called his Consultation Transcripts, which is over $50,000 of one-on-one consultations he's done with all types of businesses. A huge, thick book, about 600 pages.
Transcribed,
word for word.
You do as well on your website, I noticed.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
Okay.
I sell that for $300. I'll buy all this stuff for less than $500. So by the time I just sell one set of the tapes, everything else is profit. My margins can be incredible. Now, some of it sits on my inventory, but over time, you better believe it's going to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely, it will, yeah.
So it's just an investment. Every time I buy a set of stuff for $500, you know, I've just doubled, tripled, quadrupled my money just in a matter of time.
Yeah, it's just beautiful business. Yeah, I mean, it does require work, though. It's not something that, like, the reason you probably don't have competition is they don't know where to even get these things. If people wanted to start a business like this, and you've been doing this for so long now, that you basically, correct me if I'm wrong, you've been doing this for so long now, for the last few years or several years, that you have contacts with people who are going to these seminars, and then they'll trade off with you.
Yeah, here's the story. I got really lucky in one way. eBay was coming along. People were learning about eBay. That was one source that sellers could offer their stuff for sale, where you could match up buyers. So you could go on eBay, look for J. Abraham stuff, and see, you know, a list of stuff. But that's kind of stopping now, and I'll go into the reasons why. Then there was another website called Help Talk. It was owned by Bill Myers, and it was also a kind of like a gathering ground of people who were looking for pre-owned material and people selling pre-owned material. And then on a small basis, you had Yahoo Auctions, but it was very limited. Well, Help Talk was bought out, and so there was only just one source, which was eBay. And I started my business out on eBay. But what happened, people were counterfeiting some of the J. Abraham products on eBay, and some of the stuff, I can't compete with counterfeit products. And that's one thing I've said. I knew if I was going to stay in this business.
Counterfeit, they were basically making clones of the packages.
They were making clones of the packages and selling them for really cheap. Yeah, and I could identify what was counterfeit because I was seeing all this original material. I knew what the originals looked like. So I had to set my identity outside of eBay, and that's why I set up Hard to Find Seminars. I had to give more value and separate myself from eBay because eBay was not a real reliable place to pick up this merchandise because much of it was counterfeit. And now even today, J. Abraham is policing eBay, and he has the right to stop any auction. If he thinks it's suspect, he can end that auction. And There's not a
safe harbor, yeah.
There's not a damn thing you can do.
Yep.
So eBay, if you look on eBay, there's really not too much stuff available on eBay because they're policing it. And there's only one other source for pre-owned material, which is me.
Well, listen to this, Michael. I had a question about the phone system. I brought it up earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Your phone system is very professional. I don't have anything nearly as professional as that. But we both work from home. So how did you get such – because when you call, just so the listeners understand, when you call Michael Senoff, you hear, you know, this is going to be a – how do you tell me how it is. You get something around, this could be a recorded conversation for quality assurance purposes, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. You know how when you call, like –
800 number, right?
Right. You know when you call your credit card company or your bank, you hear that professional thing, this call may be monitored for whatever. Well, I had called somebody. Someone had called me about me doing some interview work with her, and she was a psychotherapist, whatever. And I called her, and I heard her phone system. I go, that is incredible. I am looking for this. What is that? And she told me about the phone system. Now, any of your listeners can go to a section on my site. If you go to hardtofindseminars.com and you go to the products page, and then along the left side in light blue, there's a section called Internet Tools. And these are all the tools I currently use, the same tools I use to run my Internet businesses.
Okay.
And you will see the company for that. It's called Call 8, K-A-L-L-8. And this gives you the ability within minutes to have your own 800 number. And this is part of service. So on the bottom of every...
It does that?
Yep. So you have your 800 number. It automatically lets you set that feature that you hear that this call could be monitored.
Yep.
So the person is notified that the call could be recorded, which you have to do legally here in California.
Yep.
And you can set settings to archive your call. So let's say you're a business and you're taking orders over the phone. You could have your 800 number. The calls are recorded, so you can store them on this Call 8 company server. And if you ever had this complications or you need to provide proof, you have it all on audio. You just reference the archives, and they'll store them all for you.
Let me just understand it. So when somebody calls you,
mm-hmm.
as soon as they call, it says this call could be monitored for quality assurance purposes, you know, whatever it says specifically. That is recorded as well, so that the whole thing is recorded once they call, that picks up and that starts to record. Is that right?
That's a good question. I'm not sure if that part's recorded, but the actual, what happens is they get that notice, and then you set within the control panel of Call 8 where you want the 800 number forwarded to. So I have the 800 number forwarded to my office number here in San Diego.
Okay.
But you could have this service go online. You could be on vacation. You could have your calls forwarded to anywhere you are. You could have them forwarded to your cell phone.
How much does something like that cost?
It's very inexpensive. I don't even remember. It's peanuts.
It's cheap. Okay.
Cheap. And you get an 800. And you get an 800 number.
Yeah, and it gets more people to call you.
Right. So it was great for me because I wanted the ability to be able to record a call without having to ask if I could record the call every time. And this way, if they're going to talk to me, they've already been warned that the call could be recorded.
Absolutely.
So that covers me on that end. Plus, I can archive them and save them if I wanted to. And plus, here's another incredible feature. This thing has the ability to pick up the caller ID even if people have caller ID blocking.
Wow.
And what happens is once a call comes in, if you call me on my 800 number, within seconds it'll email me the identity of the person who called me right to my email address. So many
check this out. I might be using this.
Yeah, absolutely. So how many times have people called and you missed the call and they hang up because they don't want to leave a message? This happens to me every day. They'll call. They won't leave a message. So I get the email. Let's say I was on the other line. I call them back and I say, Jay, this was Mike Senoff. You had just called. I was on the other line. I didn't want to miss your call. How can I help you?
Mike, you get this all the time, too. They call, they leave a message, and it's a long message, 2 minutes, and then they don't leave their phone number. I get that quite often because I think they just assume or they forget to leave it. It's an Internet site, and I leave my phone number on a site, so I think a lot of times people might even get flabbergasted, like, oh, my God, he left the number. You know, and then they call, they're like, what, is this some kind of scam, maybe, you know? And then they hear the recording, you know, this is Intermedia Incorporated, Jason Gould's office, please leave your name after the tone box. And they're almost like, hello? and they leave a message, and I don't get their phone number because they don't leave it.
Yeah, that happens too. But it will identify the caller no matter where they're coming from. It's pretty incredible. So
Great. You
can get back with those missed calls of people who didn't want to leave a message, and I've generated sales off those people who I would have never found them because they would have never left me a message in the first.
Before, when you're buying the courses, a little bit, like I asked just a minute ago, how much something to cost. It doesn't matter, because if it just makes you one sale a month, it's worth it.
It's peanuts. It's 4 or 5 cents a minute. It's nothing.
And it's worth it. Like, and you get one sale out of that in a month, you can make hundreds of dollars.
Absolutely. And you can link directly through it from my site, from the internet tools.
So can you tell me a little bit about your educational background and maybe some of your marketing background?
All right, well,
what type of educational background do you have?
Well, I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia. I went to nursery school and grade school and high school, and I went to college. I went to the University of Alabama, which was in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and I graduated, and ironically enough, I majored in advertising and I minored in marketing. Now, isn't that weird?
You did minor in marketing.
I did minor in marketing, but I had no intentions of, I had no idea that I would be where, what I'm doing today. No clue that it would have been marketing and advertising. The only reason I majored in advertising and minored in marketing is because I didn't know what I wanted to do, and I knew the communication school at Alabama was easy, and I wanted to get through and graduate.
That was like, man, that's just the easiest major there was. I didn't know what exactly what I wanted to do in life, so I was like, we'll just make this easy and fun, you know?
Exactly. But it did have, it had some influence in me. Did I learn anything about advertising in school? No. Did I learn anything on marketing at school? No. But college was a great experience. It was fun, and it was a good time in my life.
Who is your mentor, or do you have a mentor, someone that you regularly speak to or a role model that helps you out with your business or did you in the past?
Well, I've always listened to tapes, you know. So growing up, I didn't really have anyone to learn from, you know, in my within my immediate family or center of influence. So I turned to tapes like Zig Ziglar, like Brian Tracy, and all the stuff from Nightingale Conan. You know, I would listen to anyone. You know, I mean, I was fanatical about tapes. I love this stuff. So these guys became my mentors. Yeah. And then as I got into marketing, Jay Abraham, Gary Halbert, Ted Nicholas. Dan Kennedy, all the stuff that I sell, all these people are my mentors. And now anyone I talk to, anyone I interview is my mentor. So anyone you come across knows stuff you don't know. And if you just take the time and ask them questions about what they do and how they do, those can be your mentors. So my customers become my mentors now.
Before we talked about your market and your competition, but my question is, how big is your niche market? It seems like it's a very small niche market, but I could be mistaken. Is it large because there are so many different business owners out there that are searching for certain things on the internet and they come across hard-to-find seminars? Like you said, that people call you and they say, can you help mentor me, for instance? And you say, well, you know what? In general, this guy's looking to improve his business. So is your target market, your niche market, large or is it small?
It's hard to say. I mean, I've never done any, like, total research, but I guess it isn't hard to say. The market that I'm in, as far as Jay Abraham, let's say, you know, my unique selling proposition or the one thing that people remember me by or my site by is I'm the guy you can get the Jay Abraham stuff inexpensive from, you know. So as far as Jay Abraham, his name, it's incredibly small. Even though as well known as he is, the people who have a serious interest in marketing and advertising is minute compared to other markets and who have interest in golf. I mean, it makes the people interested in advertising and marketing look like a flea on an elephant's butt. So there are other markets that are a lot larger. And I happen to fall into this market. I do love it, and I'm involved with it. So it's a very, very small market. It really is.
Your market will change as time goes on. When Jay Seminar is no longer around, say, years from now, you'll still be reselling more marketing courses, not necessarily Jay Abraham. I mean, you'll continue to sell his even though he's gone, but once he stops making his seminars and he stops doing them, there's going to be other guys that come after him, and there's other guys that are out there even now. So your market will always exist for you, right?
Well, I think there'll always be a market. Whether I want to still be reselling Jay Abraham material 3, 4, 5 years from now, I don't know. You know, I'm always looking to make improvements, and I'm always looking to make more money with less time. And buying and reselling Jay Abraham, you know what I mean? So I may find, recently I am finding new ways to do that. Now, having the pre-owned Jay Abraham materials on my site as my core business is important, because it gives me the ability and puts me in front of people who are interested in this material. So I don't think right now I can get rid of that right now, but certainly it may be something I'd like to stop doing, because I'm not really, you know, even though there's very good money, I'm learning some stuff that there's a lot better money in doing some other things with things that I even enjoy more. It's like the pens. When I got into the pen business, I had nothing. I was dead broke. I needed something to hustle. Now, it's still been around 10 years. It's not my love, but
at that time, like I always say this, necessity is the mother of all invention.
Yeah,
at that time, you were dead broke, and you just got really creative and said, how am I going to make some money? And you're like, hey, I got to do it the easiest possible way, the fastest possible way. So how can I do something that doesn't require me a whole lot of work, but it's going to reap me a ton of margin or a ton of profit?
That's right. It put bread on my table. It paid my rent. You know, it gave me breathing room to start doing the stuff I really love, and that's to start learning marketing. And, you know, learning marketing was just me saying, I want to learn how to make more money easily, more effectively, with the least amount of work.
So what's actually separating you from somebody who jumps in the game and tries to become the hard-to-find seminar clone? Because you know you're going to find that at some point. You probably have seen it before. Is there anything that separates your business, or is it just the fact that you've built up your name now? You know, Michael Fenoff is a guy to go to because, you know, he's got so much, Jay Abraham. He's got so many different marketing courses. So is that what separates you?
What separates me is my intimate knowledge with the products that I sell. Because I was a seminar junkie, like a lot of people, I've studied a lot of this stuff. So I understand what's in this material, and I understand how the material's compiled, and I understand what and how someone's going to benefit from the particular seminars. So when someone calls me, what they're saying is, I'm interested in learning more about Jay Abraham, I'm interested in learning marketing, but how do I know which one I should get? So they're looking to me to be somewhat of a doctor, to prescribe them the right set of materials in the right format that they can learn from best for the least amount of money in the most efficient way possible. And I look at myself as a doctor. You know, when someone calls, I don't just say, yeah, I think you should get this. I will ask you, well, how do you like to learn? I'll ask you questions. I want to know what are you trying to do? What do you want to accomplish from this material? Why are you calling me? Where do you want to go? How much business experience do you have? You know, what kind of business is it? I'll pick their brain. I'll ask them all about their business. And based on all these answers, I may make a recommendation for something that's, you know, beginner material. I may feel like they're more advanced, and I'll recommend an advanced course. I may tell them that I don't think they should get any of it, because there's a lot of people who do nothing but study and study, but have all the knowledge or have enough knowledge.
Yeah, business opportunity junkies. The people I deal with a lot are business opportunity junkies. They go to my website, insidertools.com, and they read the reviews I have on all the things that I've tried. And a lot of times they buy my course, they end up buying my course here at the bottom. It says, you know, oh, click here, and maybe you can check out an opportunity that I found to be the most successful for myself. So they say, oh, my God, you know, he's gone through all the same crap that I've gone through. But they're just looking to buy another one, you know, and they're never really going to use it, even if it was good. They just keep buying and buying and buying. So you don't necessarily want somebody like that to buy from you either.
No, you know, the difference that separates me is I really do care about the people who call. I'm looking after their best interest. If they want multiple products, but I know multiple products are 70% the same thing, I won't sell them all three products. I'll say, look, you don't
have it already, yeah.
You don't need all three because it's all duplicates of the same stuff. All you need is this. I'll make if I don't feel like they need anything, I'll tell them I don't think you need anything. If I feel like they don't need Jay Abraham, I may recommend something else not by Jay Abraham. So depending on their situation, I'll analyze their needs, what they're trying to do, and I'll make my best recommendation that I feel like will benefit them the most.
The question a lot of people who listen to my courses and buy, you know, they buy the things from me, they're all into making money at home. They want to own websites a lot of times. They want to make money on the internet. Basically, like us, they want to make easy money and doing the least amount of work. So the question I have for you, and basically listening to what you said, how you're making money, you make a few $100 off of a course, you know, it basically costs you next to nothing a lot of times, and you're making $100. What's a good day for you? Like, how many sales to you, or how many sales per day is a good day, or what's a typical good day? That's what I'm looking for. Or maybe your best day. What was your best day?
Well, I don't know. I won't go into what my best day is or how, you know, but I'll say, you know, I think a good day is $1,000 a day.
Yeah.
And I've made $1,000 a day multiple times, and I feel pretty good when I can make $1,000 a day. And that's usually $1,000 net, not just gross sales. If I put $1,000 net in my pocket, I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, you know, if you could do that every day, it'd be great.
If you could do it every day, it'd be great, and it's doable.
So another question I have is you do resell these courses. Now I'm getting more into the nitty-gritty of the marketing and how you run your business. Do you have an affiliate program set up for your products so that maybe some customers that previously bought from you may want to become an affiliate, or maybe someone who's just looking for a business opportunity could resell through you? Do you do that?
Not with my J. Abraham material. I have a section on my site of products that I have control over, and under the product section, under resale rights, there are a number of products that I have the resale rights to, and products that I own that I've created for myself that if someone's looking for something to sell and make money off of, there's a listing of things there. So, but the J. Abraham stuff, because it's so rare, it's just a pain in the butt to set up, and it wouldn't be practical. However, I do have my new website, ClaudeHopkinsAdvertising.com. We have an affiliate program. It's set up through ClickBank for people who understand that, and anyone who has a ClickBank account can resell that at, depending on what we have it at, 30 to 50% profit.
That's basically what we get into. Affiliate programs are really great for people who are starting out and they want to have a website, but they want to do something on the internet. They want to make some money on the side. They want to get that feeling to be an entrepreneur, or maybe the beginners out there. So to people who listen to my course, that's a lot of times they're beginners. And, you know, an affiliate program is something great to do. So they can maybe they can get involved with your course and sell that to Claude Hopkins Advertising.com. They can sell through the ClickBank, because I offer something too with ClickBank reseller affiliate.
Absolutely. Book. Look, it is so time consuming, and I know because I'm putting my own products together. It's taking me years.
Yeah,
years.
To put together a course or a product, yeah.
What's that?
It takes a while to put together a course or a product. It takes quite a while.
Oh, absolutely. But like all my audio recordings, which will become products, has taken me years to do. Years. Now, someone who's just starting out, they can go to ClickBank and find wonderful products.
Yeah.
I mean, great products that they can hustle. Remember I told you you need something to hustle when you're starting out?
Yep.
And you could go start selling products and hustling products that you could have the rights to sell within minutes.
Exactly.
For $49.
They give you an affiliate link. Like, here, just link them to this site, and when they buy, you get credit.
There you go. And that's what's great about selling other products. They're already put together. There's wonderful sales letters. They've invested much time, and some of the better ones, thousands and thousands of dollars in putting the sales letters together for you and everything. The only thing is you don't get the glory of calling it your own product. It's an ego thing. But
Yeah, exactly. But you can develop your own product as you learn more. You know, you should buy these courses, learn these things. So to use these marketing strategies in promoting a product like ClaudeHopkinsAdvertising.com, once you see that, you know, your advertising skills or your marketing skills are working and you're becoming a great affiliate for your site, then they can say, oh, let me start to develop my own product, whatever the case, whatever it may be, and then they can start to use the same marketing skills to develop their to market their own product.
Absolutely, and that's for online digital products, which is great for ClickBank. But, you know, another idea that popped in my head for any of your listeners, if they can go look in the back of any magazine, find something you're interested in. Let's say you're interested in writing, and you go subscribe to the writing journals or writing magazines, and look in the backs, and look and see what they're selling through classified ads. Look in the classified ads of your newspaper. See what offline products are selling, and then you talk to the owner, and you can ask and negotiate for internet rights and take that offline system and put it online and be very successful.
That brings me to the Don LaPree course I bought years ago,
yeah.
the making money, you know, out of my tiny bedroom apartment. And I do reviews on all these things on my site.
Right.
And a lot of people say, oh, he's a scam artist. You know, he is kind of maybe, uh-huh. You can say that way, but the one thing I always took from Don LaPree, mm-hmm. was he said, look in the back of the tiny classified ads and read those ads.
Uh-huh.
And see those ads. They're there week and month after month, week after week, month after month. Something is successful about that copy. Something is the headline. Everything is positioned just perfectly, and that is a successful copy. You're saying look for a product that's offline, bring it online. But also, you can, like you said, with your hardtofindads.com, it's essentially the same thing like Don was saying. He didn't ever develop a course. Maybe nobody would have called him a scam artist if he did what he did. He had a little more creativity.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, look at these ads in the back of these tiny classified ads areas, and you can see what's successful. If it's running week and week and month after month after month, definitely successful.
He's absolutely right. You know what? I never looked at Don Woodpree as a scam artist. I looked at his commercials and I said, this guy's got it going on. He is absolutely right. And I remember word for word, he said, just one tiny little classified ad run in hundreds of newspapers over and over again. I mean, and what he's talking about is the power of multiplication and duplication.
Multiple streams of income.
He said, if you can make a tiny profit in one small paper, then, and that's exactly right. That's the same thing with an advertisement, the power of ad. If you can make an ad successful in one county or one, let's say, one shopper, all you got to do is make it successful in one area, make it turn a profit, and then you go out, you roll out slowly nationally.
Yeah, you just do testing, testing, testing. Once you find that it's work here, let's say I live in New Jersey, so let's try, we have the New York Times in this area, and we also have the Star Ledger. If it's successful in one of them, why not throw it to the other one? Why not throw it to the LA Times, and then just now you're putting it all over the place. I think people gave him the bad name because they weren't successful with the first two or three ads they had, and they may have spent $100 or $200. Mm-hmm. But you know, you and I both know, sometimes it costs you a lot of money to test, and before you find a successful ad.
That's right. You know, I think what...
But we, going back to your site, though, your site will basically alleviate their issues in trying to find an ad or trying to be creative. It's so hard to find ads because you'll find successful ads on there.
You'll find incredibly successful ads that you can generate ideas for. They may not be classified ads, but they're editorial-style ads that you could use for website copy. You could use as a fax, as long as you're faxing to a legitimate list with people on there who accept to receive faxes. You could use it as a script on the phone. I mean, you know, words that sell don't have to be on paper. Words that sell is nothing but ideas, you know, that are communicated to a potential prospect. And what's great about these ads, Claude Hopkins talks about the enormous amount of work that goes into a little one little ad. The average person thinks it's so simple to put together, but it has taken volumes and volumes of research to come out with that ad, because that ad is pointed to a particular market. It's incredible research and time, and then you get the finished product right there for nothing. So what's in that ad? Let's say it's an ad on storm windows for your house.
Okay.
If it's a successful ad, you know what the big gripes about storm windows are. You know the hot buttons. They're all right there for you in the ad. And so let's say you wanted to sell storm windows by the phone. All you got to do is look at the ad and look at what they're talking about in the ad, and those are the points and the hot buttons you want to bring up to the potential prospect.
You know what I do a lot of times is I watch the infomercials, because they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars developing these infomercials before they put them on television, so that they know this is successful. The buzzwords that they're using, how they structure, you know, how they structure the outline of their scripts, and I'll record them sometimes and listen to how they're doing it, and then try to develop that into a sales copy on a website too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I do that a lot. Here's a question I wanted to move into more of how you market your customers, your current customers. Do you have a newsletter and then you send out to your subscriber list? Do you carry a newsletter for any of your sites?
I don't have a newsletter because I didn't want to be tied down to a commitment of having to write a newsletter every 2 weeks or every month.
Okay.
A newsletter is a great device to offer new products and new features and updates,
yeah.
But I have autoresponder. I have places on my website where I ask for email addresses and names for people who want to be in the loop. And if I want to send out a promotion, I'll just go to my autoresponder and type up an offer or type out some
autoresponder, though, because that's what I do. I don't necessarily have a newsletter. Like, I don't draft up newsletters with cutting-edge, you know, marketing strategy, so to speak. But
yeah.
I do have an autoresponder that I use.
Yeah.
I use GetResponse.com.
Uh-huh.
And basically, I set up like 20 different autoresponders, so when they subscribe, they get one, and then like 2 weeks later, they get another one.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
My newsletter is a sequential autoresponder that's automatically done.
Okay, yeah. That's what I pretty much meant, because I think most people are using autoresponders in that way now.
Right.
I also use autoresponders when people try to email, just to let them know, you know, we're real, I got your email, I'll give you a call back.
That's great.
Okay. Do you ever use bulk email, or have you ever used bulk email in the past?
You know, if you're looking for a product that you can really hustle, something that you're learning from all the techniques in, you may want to check out another website I have. It's called ID10.com. That's ID as in dog, 10.com. And what you're going to find out at idpen.com is one of my very first businesses. It's a business I started in my one-bedroom apartment when I had absolutely no money and I needed a product to sell. It's a pen that I manufacture right out of my house. I've been doing this for 10 years without any machinery or any equipment. I had a pen that I could manufacture for 17 cents in resell by the hundreds wholesale for $1.50 each. It's a product that has kept food on my table and kept the bills paid for 10 years, and it's an exciting opportunity that if you're looking for something to hustle, to use your copywriting skills or direct mail education, it may be something you want to go check out. So go head on over to idpen.com. There at the front page, you'll hear me do telemarketing. You can hear me get sales right on the front page. It's fascinating stuff, and I'd urge you, if you're looking for something to hustle, to go check it out.